Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Gormdale Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about pastoral transitions. But first, we're enjoying snacks provided by Hemmelman and his wife, Mindy.
I just brought them. Guys. She made them. I brought them.
Thanks, Mindy, for these amazing Carmelitas we're enjoying right now.
Makes me feel like you listened to the Wednesday conversation, Chris, because we gave you like a podcast rebuke.
You did.
We did.
You did. And Mindy actually heard it first. She said, I'll make something.
She said, hey, if you're going to go back, back on the podcast, you need to bring an atoning sacrifice.
Yes. Thank you, Mindy.
Yes. She found this recipe a couple weeks ago, and I think I put on like 10 pounds since she found it. They're pretty tasty.
Why are we talking about pastoral transitions on Christmas Eve? Merry Christmas, by the way, everyone. It's Christmas Eve. Why are we talking about pastoral transitions?
Well, I suppose it's because I am going to be transitioning.
Okay. Let's get the lowdown. Wow. I've known about this for a little bit, but our listeners don't.
So. For the duration of the podcast, I'm going to act like I didn't know.
Okay. Chris, give us the quick story. Give our listeners the bottom line and then a little bit of the backstory.
Yeah. So I will be early next year. I will be transitioning off of staff at First City and transitioning to a lead pastor position at a church in Woodstock, Georgia. So that is why we're talking about this, because I'm making a big change.
How many times have you had to clarify Woodstock with, festival Woodstock?
There's been a couple times. Not the music festival. Yeah. There's actually quite a few Woodstocks in the United States, but I did get that question a couple times. Is this where the festival? I said, no, that's in New York, not in Georgia.
Well, Chris, bring us in.
For the record, I tried to talk you out of this.
You did.
I just wanted to be on the record.
You did.
I don't want you to leave Omaha.
Yeah.
I'm glad for the Lord's direction in your life, but I did do my duty before the Holy Spirit of trying to convince you not to move. Yeah.
You did, because you have been successful in talking. You talked me out of, well, you put before me, hey, don't go to Des Moines, stay in Omaha.
Right.
And it worked.
Exactly.
So you thought, hey, let me shoot my shot again. Maybe it'll work again.
I got to care about my city, man. Try to keep people here, you know?
Yeah, keep the good guys here.
Having said that, I think this is the reason I want to talk about this as a topic is because I think it is counterintuitive for people to think, oh, a pastor could take a different calling or feel called by God to a new place or a new opportunity when he didn't get fired or there wasn't some scandal. We're used to seeing pastors like, okay, I get it. If somebody blows up their life, that's a different story, or, something dramatic happens. But just the normal course of like experiencing a new calling from the Lord or a desire to take a different kind of a role, I think is harder for people to get their minds around. It's hard for me sometimes to get my mind around. And I think for people within churches, right, this can be a challenging thing to go like, oh, what would, maybe you don't like us. Maybe it's us.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this podcast and we mocked you too much and you got angry and you're leaving. So.
Well, I mean, to your point, it was even for us, for Mindy and I, as we wrestled through this, like, why would we kept asking the question, why would we do this? Because there wasn't any disgruntlement. I wasn't bored. It wasn't like, oh man, First City's boring now and we've kind of flatlined. I mean, last year or this year, as we were processing through, I mean, we had a church planning residence. We were processing, possibly planning a church. We were in the midst of having significant conversations about trying to potentially build a building on new property we had purchased. I mean, we were growing as a church. We just installed two new elders. I mean, so a lot of really good things happening. And we baptized more people this year than we have ever in 10 years. And so a lot of fruitfulness in ministry. So the timing of this actually was kind of interesting in a lot of ways. And so that wrestle of why, when everything is in a good place, that this transition would happen was at the tip of the spear for us as we wrestled through it.
What do you say when people ask that? What, I'm assuming some of that is your own subjective internal sense of God's calling.
Yeah.
And some of that has to do with more external factors, but how do you help people think through? Yeah. So what is the why? Like, as people are wrestling with what causes you to say yes to a thing and, you're not leaving behind something bad. You're moving from good to good.
Yeah. So that subjective end, I mean, I've had, and you guys have had this experience where you get an email or you get a call from somebody either they don't know you or they know you, hey, would you be interested in X opportunity? And typically it was just no, 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 no. Very clear, both externally, like no way I would do that. And internally, no, but, have a friend who, have become friends with him through Acts 29 connections. And he attends this church, and the backstory, this church is, they're not part of Acts 29. They're part of the Harbor Network, which is very similar to A29. And about almost 2 years ago, they had to remove their founding pastor for just some leadership issues there. And so the friend of mine spent time as an interim there, interim lead, and is a member there now. And so he was the first person to kind of put this in front of me. And that normal sort of clear no that I've gotten in the past, this time it wasn't like, yes, do this, but it was different. So I said, okay, I'll have a conversation. And one conversation kind of led to another, but it wasn't really until May into June when it actually became a serious conversation. So it took a number of months of just kind of wrestling through for Mindy and I just to do a heart check. Like, is there something that would cause us to want, are we running from something? Are we disgruntled? Why is there this sense of like not an immediate no? And we didn't really know at first. It was just this subjective sense of, we don't feel like the Lord just like shutting this down internally. So once we got to the place of realizing, hey, this is more of a serious consideration, the next kind of phase of this was, hey, let's bring some people into it. And so before I had my first kind of serious conversation with the elders of this church, I told our elders, hey, I don't know if this is going to be anything, but I want to let you guys know. I want to start this conversation. And I wanted them to be in the process right away. I didn't want this to be something that I was doing in isolation. Hey, we made this decision and now it's we're just letting you know. But it was, hey, I want you guys to know. And I don't really, again, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to start having these conversations. In processing that decision, we wanted this to be open. We wanted you know, give us all the reasons why we wouldn't do this, or this is unwise. Here's reasons why this could potentially be a good thing. So try to make that decision with people, as best you can. And that's a risk, because sometimes people's desires, personal desires, and then sense of calling, like those things can kind of get messy at times. And so, I think what we wanted is that the conversation was honest, that there was integrity, that we took all of the heat, we took every objection, we took every wrestle. We didn't want to shy away from any of it. And I think that in that really started to refine kind of our why in this.
I would like to, for the sake of my own processing, play the skeptic a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, because I think about this a lot. I've been thinking, Chris, less about, obviously I'm, you know, vocationally a pastor too. So sometimes I think about, yeah, what would cause me to take another calling that hasn't happened for me. But I also think about it from the perspective of helping churches and Christians go like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, it's okay for our pastor to say yes to another opportunity. But the skeptical side of me wants to ask, okay, so how is this different from a normal person in our church saying, yeah, I used to work at Home Depot and now I'm working for Lowe's, right? You know, I left this job over here and I'm going to this job over here. It seems like for the average person, that's a very sort of factual, usually a pretty factual conversation of like, hey, HDR, I've kind of hit my ceiling over there. And so I'm going to go look at this job at Leo Daily or at whatever, you know, but we talk a lot more about the God's calling, because we're talking about ministry. And so how do you weigh, or I guess the skeptical question would be, What do you become? What happens in you that causes you to say, I think the Spirit of God is in this, not just a set of factors on the table?
Yeah, great question. And I'll try to answer that by talking through kind of what began to materialize to where we kind of believe we were seeing that. And so I think for us, the two biggest factors in which we sort of discerned, hey, this is the Lord's calling, is one, there was a specificity to the type of pastor that they were looking for and the need that they had as a church, and also a particular level of alignment already with my philosophy of ministry and kind of values. But then also as they articulated, hey, this is the type of leader we want and we need. And after we did our second I did my second interview, but Mindy had jumped in with that one. And after that conversation with the search committee, she looks at me, she goes, this is oddly specific, like related to what they're articulating and who you are as a leader. So I think that was one of the pieces where this wasn't just, hey, I want to go do something new, or hey, it'd be cool to move to Georgia. It was, there's something specific here, going to that sense of call. And then the other piece was discerning, where is First City? Like, is First City in a place where I can step out, hand things off? Not that it wouldn't, it's going to be hard no matter what, but First City could come on the other side of that. Not just, hey, we're going to be okay, but no, we can actually continue to grow and thrive and be who we are. And so that was probably the harder lift, because in some ways you are making a decision that affects so many people, both personally. You love these people, they love you, there's friendship, but then also, hey, I might be forcing you guys into a job shift without, you know, in some ways without, you know, you guys like saying, signing up. So we had to wrestle through that. But as it became clear that First City was going to not just be okay, but can thrive, and that to see the faith of our staff, of Paul, of our elders, and then as we brought more people into the church, to see, okay, as hard as this is going to be, as sad as we are, all the emotions, we're going to be good. We're going to be fine. And so I think that as a pastor, I'm a shepherd, right? Like I'm to shepherd the flock. I care about, it's not just that I'm going to just go get a different job. Like I'm still accountable before the Lord for these people. And so if I'm going to make that transition, I have to be sure in my heart that they're going to be okay. And yeah,
that's helpful.
That's where those kinds of things are what we wrestled through.
I think what you just said there at the end is the answer, Bob, that I would have to your question, which is, you know, in ministry, it feels there's a different weight to the calling because of the shepherding responsibilities, because of, you know, I can't just go take another job. This needs to be handed off well, mm-hmm. because I am, to what you just said, like accountable to the Lord for my work here. I think it's interesting in moments like this, ministry transition. I would say a couple of things. One is, I think it's actually pretty healthy and pretty beautiful when a pastor can express what you just said about specificity to the calling, but also give word to desire or longing or, you know, it just seems like the Lord's not shutting this down, and it's not necessarily sinful. It's not like right, wrong, or good or bad. It's just, this seems to be happening. And the Lord is in this, people are in this, my community is in this. So I remember, you know, some time ago talking about, it's okay. Like, if the Spirit is in me, he's aligning my desires, hopefully, in my conscience. Otherwise, I'm going to be found out, or I'm going to be, this is going to come back in some other ill way that I'm unaware of. But as long as the Spirit is in it, and the Spirit is in me, and the community is in it, then this is going to get solidified in a good way.
Yeah. And I remember the conversation that we had, you know, a couple months ago, where you sort of articulated, hey, it's okay to tell people you want to do this, that the Lord has put a desire, and it's actually helpful for people to hear that. That was really helpful for me, because through a lot of this process, there is this trepidation of, hey, we're making this decision. We believe the Lord is calling you to that. And I know that's really hard, and there's a lot of emotion around that. How do I talk about that in a way that's exciting without it feeling callous or just like, I don't care about people? So I think I got a little reluctant, which I come to see, which is not helpful, because people really needed to hear that, no, I want to, like, the Lord has birthed a desire. And that too, when as this started to become clear, just kind of the external factors, there was this, Lord, give me and Mindy, give us faith and a desire to do this. And so when that, as that began to develop, I think that was when we just needed to be honest about it. It's like, hey, we actually want to do this. Not only do we think it seems like the Lord is calling us to do this, but we want to do this. And I think what was encouraging to see, the particularly people of First City, our staff, our elders, members of our church, to start to see them embrace the opportunity of a new season of, like, okay, post Chris, not like, hey, get out of here, Chris. We're fine without you, but, oh, the Lord has things for us, and this could be good for us.
Dusty talks sometimes about the stages of grief. Mm. Chris, I want you to tell us, what are the stages of people sort of reckoning with a shift like this? Cause you've sort of walked through that as you let people know, right? Just sort of like people, like when you told me, I was like, hold on, what? Hold on, what? To like, okay, I can see that. What's sort of the journey that people need to go through to sort of arrive at a spot of like, okay, this is all right.
Yeah. So it does it, especially when you're, again, you're talking about there's not conflict. There's not, you know, hey, I'm bored, or hey, I'm trying to, you know, do something bigger, or even, I think it would have been easier in some ways if I would have told people, hey, I'm going to go work for Acts 29, or I'm going to go back in to be a professor, or, you know, go get my PhD and teach at seminary. But to, hey, I'm going to pastor another church. That was just, you love them more than you love us, you know, that kind of thing. And so there is that shock, because there's deeper relationships. I mean, planted a church 10 years ago. These people have become our closest friends, and we've been in the trenches. And so all that. So there's that sense of shock. Then I think wrestling through the questions of why. And then when you invite people in to discern that call with you, it's a weird space for them, because they're trying to set aside their own sort of emotions and perspectives. And yeah, they're going to bring wisdom, but I think they're trying to walk this line of, hey, how can I be objective as I can be? And so I think that's just processing through that. What we experienced from people was, you kind of walk through that initial sense of shock, give some explanation, allow that for people to just kind of process through that. And then once you kind of get to that place of acceptance, and this is where we kind of are right now, we did our members meeting the end of October, where we fully announced it to everyone. And yeah, there was like a week or so of just shock and emotion. And then now in this season, where people have sort of accepted it, it's really cool to see their faith. Like they're it's weird. I'll admit it's weird, because there's like the talking about life in the church with us not here, but there's this embrace of like, hey, we're going to rally. We're going to, you know, put our hand to the plow and keep going. And so when they kind of get to that place of faith and acceptance and, hey, we're going to keep building, that's actually kind of encouraging as a pastor.
Yeah. You start to feel like, oh, they're going to actually make it, and they don't really need me here. What do I do here again?
It's kind of like when you come back from sabbatical,
You're like, oh, this is actually going fine.
You guys have been doing just fine.
I think it's good for people to work through that wrestle, because I think the reason why there's so much faith and a willingness to grab is because they've had to work through just the sadness, the questioning, like, and for people to see, okay, God's hand is in this. Like Chris and Mindy, like I've so appreciated when people have said, hey, we have trusted you for 10 years to follow the Spirit, to process wisely. Why would this be any different? So if you're saying the Lord is in this, then we trust you.
Well, and how refreshing is it in a world where so many stories are tragic stories to hear that's a good story of someone who's done faithful work in a place, and now God's calling them to do faithful work in another place. That's a great reason to lose a pastor, as opposed to all the really hard reasons that sometimes people go through transition.
Yeah, so. And a couple of people stood up and said that at our members meeting, and I appreciated that there was this, hey, this is not a lot of churches' stories, and so we can rejoice in that.
Yeah,
I think that takes a great deal of maturity as well, you know, to realize, okay, right now I'm a little shocked or upset or sad or something, but I'm going to see through that, or I'm going to at least get through that to get to the spot of, we've been following you for 10 years and we've been trusting you, except today, actually.
Yeah.
Now we don't.
Out the window,
I'm obviously going to be triggered towards like, well, something's off in me, you know, in that moment. So that's a really mature response.
And it's natural to try to find, hey, what's the real reason? What's the secret reason? Because again, it's so, the narrative is so often, and sadly, too often it is the case that pastors leave because of X reason. And so I think part of that shock is also, what are you not telling me?
Right.
What's really
the real
going
story?
On?
Yeah. Right.
And so actually, once you realize, okay, no, it isn't, there isn't no secret reason here, I think that also helps with the processing and coming to that place of faith and acceptance.
What are some of the questions, Chris, Bob, that you think pastors should for sure be thinking about in this type of situation?
I have a lot of, I try to help people think through a lot of questions. I think I asked Chris some of these questions. One is just like, hey, are you being honest with yourself about like, you know, is this actually a really compelling good opportunity that fits you well, or is it just like the new shiny object? You know, so I think there's my concern in these conversations can be that just like I was asking about how the Spirit directs, there can be a tendency to over-spiritualize stuff where it's just like, actually, I'm just kind of tired out and I, you know, like I've gotten bored. Like there are reasons why pastors who actually feel that deep down can put a spiritual spin on that. And so with guys I love and I'm walking with, I just want to say, hey, make sure you're not doing that. Like be honest enough with yourself or with your wife to know if that's going on anywhere. So I usually try to start from a more self-critical place, Dusty, to say, hey, let's make sure that we're weeding out any kind of, you know, stuff under the surface that just is unprocessed. And then once, as long as that's not there, then I'm usually asking questions more like Chris said, hey, tell me why you think this is a good fit for who you are, for where you are, what's compelling to you about this opportunity. I'm trying to get inside the what feels enticing or exciting. What is it, what is God seeming to do here? And who are the people you're talking about it with? You know, who have you, it is hard in a situation of a pastor processing a different call because you want community, but everybody that you bring into that is going to feel all the things.
Everyone's affected by that.
So it can be really challenging for pastors to feel like, hey, the people I trust the most, who would usually be my elders or my close friends in the church, I'm going to bring them into this. and then they're, you know, it's going to take them a minute to actually be able to get through the shock to sort of help me think objectively about it.
Yeah. And the things that I've been grateful for is it really was, okay, we're going to put 10 years of trust built and kind of stretch the hinges here in this process. But to see the fruitfulness of 10 years of trust and relationship that has been built, I think why this process, as hard as it was and as emotional it was in kind of wrestling through things, there was always this sense of integrity, of openness, of, hey, everyone is willing to have and say what they're feeling and thinking of, hey, here's the ways in which people have said, you know, to Mindy and I, hey, this is where we feel hurt. Or like when we were in the middle of the decision, there was a lot of things kind of happening in the church, pastoral, heavy pastoral things. And people just saying, hey, it feels like if you were to leave now that this would just be like, almost like you're abandoning us. And they didn't mean it that strongly, but it felt that way. And so you're like, okay. And then there were times where I, you know, was like, hey, it feels like you guys, I don't know if you are actually with me in trying to discern this with me, you know, so just being able to be honest with each other about that. Mm. And because there was so much trust, we were able to meet each other in that and to work through those things and like, hey, yeah, how can I think well about where you guys are coming from and how can you guys think well about what we're wrestling with? And so I also think there just has to be this willingness to say, it's going to be messy. Like it's going to be emotional. There's no like perfect, clean process. I don't think anybody sinned against each other in any of this, but I think we had just some raw moments and I'm grateful for that because again, it made the process full of integrity. There was nothing sort of held back. There was no willingness not to go to some of those self-critical places. And man, I spent so much time out at Fontenelle Forest wrestling with those questions. Mm. And there was this spot I would go to. I was, you know, out there probably 3 or 4 times a week. Just, I'd go and sit and just be like, Lord, just make this clear. Like if there is any of this, if I'm running from something, if there is something that is like, I'm just discontent or, you know, just these unhealthy motivations, like expose that, make that clear. Cause I don't want to make this decision out of that because I love First City. I love what we've built. I love these people. I love ministry here. I don't want to run from something in an unhealthy way. And so I'm just grateful that, you know, I had people asking me those questions and I was just kind of kept pressing into that.
You've said a couple of times, just the relational trust is a key factor. It's something you can lean on in a decision like this. And it's also something you rely on to help you make a decision like this. I'm trying to think, Dusty, about like situations that have been not as good where pastors have left. And it's usually what I often see is there's a lack of trust already in the system. And so everybody reads things in the worst possible light. It's like, you know, people, this person is leaving. There's some other scenario under the surface. And then there's just a lack of sort of like mutual goodwill, or at least a lack of ability to get to the place where I'm trying to help you process in a non-self-interested way, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And it takes where I think, you know, we always talk about how the gospel applies on this podcast. I think where the gospel applies in this situation is to remove self-interest from the equation and just to say like, well, what's best for Chris and Mindy or what's best for this church? It's how would it help them discern whether this is the right step requires me to pull all my self-interest off the table and just say like, I can love this person as a human being, not as mm-hmm. This is the pastor of a church that we helped to plant and you know, he's a partner in ministry in the city. And like, I'm feeling certain losses with Chris not being here, right? Yeah. Of just like, that's going to mean things for like how, what it looks like for us to go forward. So I have to take all that off the table and be mm-hmm. able to just say, well, let's just ask the question. It's not an issue of sin, good, bad, right, wrong. It's an issue of like, well, there's a wisdom decision to be made. Yeah. So how do we enter in with wisdom? And I think it takes so much death to self and so much gospel clarity for anyone in the situation, elders, church members, friends, to enter into a question like that in a way that just feels like, yeah, I can just ask you, I can help you process that question. And it, you know, probably took me a day and a half to get there. You know, my first conversation with Chris was probably a lot more like, dude, why would you even think about this? Yeah. And then, you know, getting to a place where you can get self-interest out of the equation is important. And I think it's hard to do.
Yeah. And that hit, working through that was a big part of the process, especially in the summer, like when it was really kind of at its fever pitch of intensity and emotion for everyone who knew at the time and who was involved to work through that. And it's same for us. I mean, same for Mindy and I. And I think that's where the unity that we had built over 10 years was really started to show itself. Because I think when we were able to have honest conversations about where maybe there was some miss or just, hey, can you consider some things? And then just watching people respond, oh yeah, that's what I ultimately want to do. Both sides. So thankful for that. So, so thankful for that. And just, I think again, it just speaks to so much of what,
well, I want
the beauty of what we've experienced these past 10 years.
I want to connect those two threads. So the thread of relational trust and the thread of gospel, because what you just mentioned is, actually, to get to that place, I have to put some hard things on the table, or I have to be willing to say what I'm really thinking, right? And to say what I'm really thinking and have someone else say what they're really thinking, and what they're thinking might be, Chris, I'm angry that you would consider this, or Chris, I don't think this is the right decision, or Chris, I'm wrestling with what this is going to mean for me. To put that on the table in a room where it's like, it's okay to say that is a rare thing.
Yeah.
And only in a gospel culture, only if you have a healthy gospel can you do that? But my concern is if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you just keep all that stuff in the background and it ends up coloring how you relate to the thing going forward. So there's a real beautiful way that the gospel creates an environment of relational safety where it's okay to say, hey, Chris, is it okay for me to say, I'm actually a little frustrated that you're thinking about this. Like, can you handle that? And can I handle saying that? Yep. Is it okay to put that in the room?
Yeah.
That's really powerful in a moment like this or in a decision like this.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There was multiple times where there were that raw of conversations that in kind of different pockets of people with those. But then there was at one point, this was, I think, September, Mindy and I were like, okay, we want to get everyone who's been wrestling with us at that level in the room together. And so it was our elders, some of our friends in the church, a couple of people who were on staff and just said, hey,
we weren't invited. We didn't know about that meeting.
Let's just bring it all. And that was the ability to be able to say direct things. No one got offended and like hurt and ran away. Everyone's like, okay. And at the end of that meeting, there was this collective sense of, hey, we're for each other.
Yeah.
And we want to follow with how the Lord is leading in this. And we want to lay self-interest down in all those ways. And so it was a helpful part of the process, but it was hard. It was a hard meeting. Yeah. I think everyone had to kind of hear some tough stuff. So.
Mm. Well, it's awesome that you can have that kind of a meeting, right? Yeah. Not everybody would even want to sign up for a meeting like that. So that's really powerful that the culture can sustain that.
I just want to acknowledge that he transitioned is a tense phrase in the moment that we live in.
So yeah. It could mean multiple things.
Oh my goodness. So we have joked about that on staff.
He moved to Georgia is maybe
so
a different
many times,
way of
yes.
that.
Chris's transition.
I want to acknowledge I think it's good for every Christian who's a part of a church to realize you're going to go through this at some point.
Yeah.
Like even if I'm at Corumdale till I retire, at some point I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Or dying, you know, it's like there's going to be a pastoral transition in your church at some point. So it's wise for Christians to recognize we're not talking here about like something that, you know, maybe in a hundred, once in 100 years it would happen. We're talking about something that's absolutely going to happen because pastors are mortal. And so even if they don't get called to a different place, they're going to come to an end in their ministry. And so Christians have to have a category for like, how can I, in a moment of transition like this in a church, whether it comes now or later, how can I be a force for good, one who believes the best, one who helps celebrate the past and look forward to the future? All of that is actually really crucial, just healthy church member work. And I think what's interesting is like, we don't often think about that because if you have the privilege of being in a church that feels pretty stable, you don't have to go through that very often, but every one of us should realize that like that's in your lifetime, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So just Christians embracing, yep, I want to be able to tell great stories about the journey of a pastoral transition is an important vision to have.
Yeah.
So Chris, this is taking place Q1 of next year. Is that about right?
Yeah. So my last Sunday at First City will be February 1. One of the things that
leaving us when it's cold and dark. Thanks for that. Yeah.
With the transition. So the last Sunday in February will be the 10-year birthday of First City.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So wanting to be present for that Sunday, the actual party will probably be in the fall of 2026 and Mindy and I'll come back for that, but want to be there to mark that. And then the Sunday after will be my last Sunday. And then we're targeting mid to late February when we actually pack up and move. Yeah. So we got month of January, rest of December, month of January.
A few more Wednesday conversation episodes where we will hear your voice.
I will be here. I'm going to be here for January.
You heard it here.
Love it. Love it. Well, I hope this has been helpful just to think through the simple category of pastors making transitions in their vocation. And if there's a particular question that you wanted us to talk about that we didn't get to, that's where we invite you to email and let us know, and we'll certainly try to follow up. But you'll hear Chris for the next few episodes, and then sometime in the middle of January, February, you won't hear him anymore, at least not from this studio. So, Chris, thanks. By the way, thanks for being a part of the Wednesday conversation since basically its very beginning.
Well, this has been one of the joys of ministry. I mean, partly just it's fun to be able to record, but I've just loved that a couple times a month I get to come out, hang out with you guys. So, this has been a highlight for my time here. So thanks for letting me stay on even after we planted.
I like that you have a key fob to the building and just let yourself. It's sort of like once every few weeks, Chris Hellman walks up and just lets himself in the building. And people are like, who's that guy?
I so appreciate
Don't worry,
that.
He's on the podcast.
Some of our staff are probably like, who is that?
Just wandering in.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thanks for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.